The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You're just okay. That'd be by virtue of the fact that the Bears could have actually won yesterday if Haney was a little more experienced, I think, number one, and if the coaches
okay,
didn't get their butts whipped by the other coaches.
Let me ask you this. You blame one person. Who do you blame?
I guess Marks.
Thank you. That's what I want to hear. I am now.
What kind of pass is that at third and short?
You know, Mike Marks is Mr. Pass, right? And he tried Mr. Pass with Cutler at the beginning of the year, and Cutler told him, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not playing your offense anymore. So we changed. Mike Marks kind of molded his, and then we're doing good. So now Mike Marks gets Cutler out. He gets this Haney kid in. Haney's going to do what he's told. So Mike Martz grabs him by the car, and I'm just kind of exaggerating, grabs him by, you're going to do what I tell you, kid. If I tell you to pass the ball, you're going to pass the ball. It's my offense. I'm going to do what I want with it. So Mike Martz tried to do it his way again. He doesn't have the quarterback. He's used to these great quarterbacks who can throw the ball 100 miles an hour on a pin. And Haney can't do that.
He tried. But I was surprised that Haney actually does have an arm.
He does. Mike Martz got his butt kicked.
Yeah.
Not the Bears. Mike Martz got it. Yeah,
and I think defensively, too, I think at the second half, the Bears, towards the end of the first half, were winning the game.
Oh, yeah.
On the line.
Yeah.
And then there was an adjustment made, and all of a sudden, Oakland was moving the ball.
Yeah. They were good. He said they were good between the 20 and the 20.
Right, and that is credit to the Bears' defense that they had held them
really
all those field goals.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you said, the turning point of the game was obviously that interception. I mean, three interceptions really hurts.
Oh, yeah?
But the one at the end of the first half when they could have got at least three, if not 7 points.
Yeah. No, that killed us. That was the killer right there. It turned everything around. They went back the other way and scored. No, it was second and one. You give the ball to your running back three times. We're going to get a yard. I guarantee we're going to get a yard. We're going to pass that ball. I was so mad. I was so mad that I've determined I...
And, of course, that's about the most dangerous pass there is in football, passing out to the flat like that.
Well, yeah, especially with there's no room for the defense to have to spread out and go deep. You're not sending anybody deep. They're all within 15 yards because that's the end of the end zone. I was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was born there, at least.
Minnesota,
so now I'm a Viking fan. I know they're... And they're, what, 2-9 on the year? Go Vikings, my friend.
You can't be a Viking fan.
I am a full-blooded purple. I wear purple.
I think you're reacting a little emotionally right now, Mike.
Until Mike Martz is out, I'm a Viking fan. Ask me every week how they're going. I'm telling you, well, the Vikings lost again. Ask me next week. I'll show you.
Oh, God. All right. Let's move on to some more serious stuff. Oh, if you had to think of the country that censors the internet the most, what country comes to mind?
Censors the internet?
Censors.
Do I get three guesses?
No.
Just
get one.
Korea.
Okay, I'll give you a second guess.
China.
Okay, I'll give you a third guess.
Cuba.
Wrong on all three counts.
Oh, really?
Wrong, dog breath, or whatever Johnny Carson used to say.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's see.
You're going to tell us, right?
Yes, I am, if okay. I can find it here. The, China has called for, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know about Cuba and Korea, but I do know about China.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I was specifically naming off communist regimes.
Well, okay. I can't find the specific figures, but it turns out the United States censors more than China.
Really? The internet.
The internet. The number of takedown orders received by Google from authorities based in the United States rose dramatically over the past year with demands to remove information, including videos containing government criticism. It increased this over 1 year by 70%. Google received 757 takedown requests across its sites and services, up 70% from the second half of last year. U.S. authorities called for the removal of 113 videos from YouTube, including several that were documenting alleged police brutality, which we've talked about a lot here, which Google refused to take down. So that's the good news. Figures revealed in Google's newly released transparency report, which also details how the number of user data requests by U.S. authorities increased by 29% compared to the last reporting period. They wouldn't reveal exactly which videos were taken down. The report states that the removal requests pertaining to police brutality were done on the grounds of defamation and are here defaming, you know, in case you just point out police brutality on the internet in you know, living color. That's defamation. Takedown order on the grounds of government criticism. Oh, one was the reason was that they wanted to take it out because there was government criticism. The report does not indicate whether or not YouTube complied with the removal request, but it did comply with 63% of the total requests made. The number of items removed by U.S. authorities was almost sevenfold the number requested. Here we go. That's what I was looking for. The number of items requested to be removed by U.S. authorities was almost sevenfold the number requests to remove by Chinese authorities, a country much maligned for its internet censorship policies. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That's pretty sad as we move more and more to the police state, which brings me to my next outrageous regulation of the week. And this is even if you can believe it, more scary. We're continuing down the path, folks, and if people say, oh, well, it's not like we're exterminating Jews, you know, by the millions, you know, like Hitler did. Hitler first put in place, legally, what he needed to do to solve the Jewish problem. And then he did it. The latest legislation that has passed the House of Representatives in Congress and is going to the Senate and will be voted on today or tomorrow would allow, of course this is unconstitutional, but that never stopped them before, and the Supreme Court more than half the time seems to go along with this crap. If this passes, the executive branch of the federal government will be able to detain any American citizen anywhere in the world, outside the United States, inside the United States, and hold them indefinitely, without habeas corpus, without any constitutional rights, just by deciding that they're part of the, you know, as an enemy combatant or whatever. If it has to do with the war on terror, if they can just claim, there's no transparency and there's no accountability and there's no proof needed. Just an assertion that someone is an enemy combatant, U.S. citizen, you can be detained forever in this country, held forever, without being charged with a crime, with no right to habeas corpus. That is the final nail in the coffin, folks. It is the final nail in the coffin. And again, and this, and the report of this that I got to wasn't some from right wing radical kook. The ACLU is the one who's the group that's sounding the alarm on this. Folks, I don't know what's left. What is left if this passes? Do people do not understand? And oh, by the way, our congressman right here, and I think people should call his office right now, Holmgren, voted for it. As did Joe Walsh, two so-called Tea Party congressmen that are supposed to be in favor of limited government, voted to give the power to the federal government to go into your house and arrest you or pick you off the street and arrest you like they used to do in Chile, remember Missing? And then throw you in a hole, not charge you with your crime, and give you no rights of habeas corpus. Just by the assertion that you're an enemy combatant. then somehow in the war of terror, you're on the wrong side of things. Maybe you contributed some money to some group you thought was a religious group. That'd be all it would take. Or less. You're affiliated with some group. I mean, the Homeland Security has already said that people who believe in the Constitution, who serve constitutional rights, and libertarians, and those who fight abortion, they are possible terrorists. What are we going to do about this, folks? That's what I want to know. And I'm going to ask our guest about that, too. He is chairman of the economics department at Loyola University in New Orleans. Dr. Walter Block will be our guest, and we will talk to him after we break for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
I'll tip my hat to the new Constitution. Take a bow for the new revolution. Smart and green with the change all around. Pick up my guitar and play. Just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees and pray.
We don't get. I wonder if they're singing this song in Egypt right now.
Oh, no. Yeah, probably.
If they, I mean, if it is a world economy now, I'm sure they're aware of the who's next and won't get fooled again. And boy, they're, it's, They had one revolution, and now there's another revolution, and I guess I don't blame them. More people getting murdered. folks, I guess we have an open line right now because we're having a hard time getting a hold of Dr. Walter Block. It's a shame. We tried, about a month ago when I went out on vacation. That didn't work out. And
is that the guy who was up in Wisconsin?
When I was up in Wisconsin.
Okay. Maybe he's mad at you.
Yeah, maybe he's mad at me. He has every right.
He's on the West Coast, though, is he not?
He is New Orleans.
Oh, well, he should be on the same time as we are, though.
But if you live in New Orleans, it's pronounced New Orleans.
Okay, New Orleans.
If you're a suburbanite, it's New Orleans. A little subtle difference
really?
There. But it's not New Orleans. And as this bus driver, as they were taking us to the Superdome, I didn't tell you we spent an evening in the Superdome. He was telling us how people talk, you know, in New Orleans, and he says, you know, it pecan pie is pecans are just, you know, they're right, you know, this is the time of the year for pecan pie, and it's not pecan pie. That's what we put next to our bed at night.
A pecan. Pecan. Are you kidding me? It took me a minute, but it was worth a laugh. Thank you. That's horrible.
But yeah, I got to attempt a field goal for the 14-yard line in the Super Bowl.
Really? You're kidding me.
And I got it far enough, but it veered to the left.
You shanked it, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, well, think how old I am. I was afraid I was going to pull something really bad.
Of course.
You know. So,
at least you got
first attempt I got. I mean, if I had waited in line, I could have had another attempt, but I didn't have the time. But at least I got it far enough. All right, well, until we get a hold of Dr. Block, we are opening up the lines, and we have Therese. Hey, hi, Therese, how you doing?
Oh, well, not so good after what you told us this morning, but I did call Randy Halkman's office right now.
Good for you.
And could I give out the phone number over the air?
Please.
All right, his Washington number is 202-225-2976. 202-225-2976, and I think he should get a load of calls. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, when you asked the question about who censors the Internet the most, I had the answer right the first time in the U.S., and I'm going to tell you why.
I bet you did.
I mean, oh, yeah. I was trying to... Sometimes I'll be on my computer and reading something very, very pertinent, and it'll go black on me. Hmm. And then also I was trying to send out a video of an interview from John Perkins, who wrote the Economic Hitman, which is very, very good. And my computer would not allow me to do that. And then I was also on the Health Freedom News website, and I wanted to send out something from them. And they said, well, they advised me not to do it because of their so-called security. Well, I didn't listen to them anyway because this was very pertinent also, the information I was going to send out. So I definitely believe this, and I don't know if it's through the government or through the provider or both. In other words, is the provider doing this because of the government wants them to?
Well, yeah, all you need to do, you know, there's a chilling effect. Anytime the federal government suggests that we want this, and this taken off, certainly there's a chilling effect, and that has the results of a lot of providers probably thinking twice before they should keep something on the Internet when that's controversial, such as SWAT teams murdering people.
Oh, this is terrible. And when you were talking about the bill that they could... Was there a number for that bill or a name of it or what? Do you know?
Oh, I don't... Let's see if I have it in front of me.
I
don't have it in front of me, but if you check the ACLU website, I'm sure you'll find that.
Oh, I get their mailings, too, because I go to the enemy. I like to listen to the enemy because once in a while they do have the truth.
Oh, yeah, they're not always the enemy. When it comes to gun rights, they're the enemy, but on First Amendment issues, they're right there with us.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought this up. And then when I talked to Halkman's office, I just told him about the bill because I didn't have a number. And I told him how upset I was about it. And I hope people call him and let him know.
Was there any response, or they just say thank you for your input?
That's all they say is thank you. Yeah, they always do that. That's all they always do. But at least he should get the comments if he gets enough people calling in to let him know. And then I said to her, if he didn't read the bill, if he didn't know what was in it, he had no business voting for it. But they have to know. They just have to know that we're out here listening and watching what they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
This was, by the way, this bill was passed by secret. There was no, it was in a secret committee, closed committee, with no hearing at all.
No, wait a minute. Okay.
It's some kind of defense author. That's most likely remember, it's some kind of defense authorization bill.
But if it was passed in committee, then that means it didn't go to the floor.
No. I'm saying that originally it passed committee without any debate.
Before the vote?
The House voted on it. It's to the Senate now, and the Senate version, again, was done secretly by Leahy and Graham. So, Graham of South Carolina.
Right.
Lindsey Graham. And, it's supposed to go to a vote today or tomorrow. I'm hoping that Senator Rand Paul will begin a filibuster on this, which I'm almost sure he would oppose this.
Boy, they're really pushing through things faster and faster and faster.
When they want to, they can sneak these things through real fast, can't they?
Oh, they do that all the time.
But they say something like real tax reform, that's going to take, decades.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But what's happening, too, with Obama, what he's doing is if the Congress doesn't do what he wants, he's just issuing his executive orders, which are unconstitutional for a lot of these things.
Oh, absolutely. Well.
Okay, I'll let you go. I hope you have a great day after
Therese,
this. I'll tell you, for as upsetting as this is, I want to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
I'm glad.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for your call. Right. And our conversation with Therese reminded me of some other things that we need to be aware of. I'm sure a lot of you have seen. If you haven't, you should check it out on the internet. The protesters of the Occupy Wall Street movement out in Davis, California, or the University of California, Davis campus, where they were sitting down and not moving in passive resistance. This cop came up with pepper spray and just showered people in the face with pepper. They're not even supposed to aim at the face. And just showered people with pepper spray. These are probably the kind of views you'd see on the internet that the government doesn't want you to watch, I would think. There's a petition out there to get this investigated and maybe some kind of disciplinary action against the officer. I doubt if anything will happen, because what I've also found, if you check an article by Naomi Wolf, it turns out that it was the Department of Homeland Security that organized the crackdown of the protesters. This is a direction from Washington. It wasn't all of a sudden all individual cities decided to crack down at once. This was upon the urging and direction and orchestration of the Department of Homeland Security. I believe it was at the same protest, there was a pregnant woman trying to leave the area, stopped by the cops. She goes, please, I'm pregnant. I'd like to just get out of here. And the response to her saying how pregnant was one cop punched her in the stomach, and the other guy with a billy club pounded her all over her body, including her stomach, and she ended up aborting the fetus. This is what we've got today, folks, with law enforcement. Somehow things have changed, and they think that they have the right to dole out instant punishment when they're just supposed to be arresting people. Absolutely, absolutely outrageous. So there's a petition for that. Another disturbing thing. I guess it's going to be the disturbing morning. This is going to be the disturbing morning, so the disturbing news. I don't know if people have seen this, but there's a discrepancy whether or not it was an Army, military guy, or Marine. In Afghanistan, there's a video on the internet of them bringing in a sheep, and this one military guy, he just beat it to death with a baseball bat.
For what reason?
Just, it looks like for fun. They were laughing. They're sadistic laughing in the background. They just brought the sheep into this room and just beat it in the head with the bat until it was dead. It was really disgusting to look at. So there's also an online petition on there for him to meet some disciplinary action.
Well, sure.
It's getting really pretty sad out there. But I understand we have linked up with Dr. Walter Block. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Block to the program. Thank you so much for being on. It's an honor to have you on today.
Thanks for having me on, and I'm sorry to be late.
No problem. And we'll be able to carry on for the full time this time. We tried this a month ago when I was vacationing in Wisconsin. That didn't work out too well.
Right.
So, all right. Well, I first I'd like to just maybe hit some topical issues. I'm sure you're probably aware of the bill that has passed the House of Representatives and gone to the Senate now that would give the power, if not, of course, the right, for the federal government to apprehend U.S. citizens anywhere in the world, including the United States, and hold them indefinitely without charge, without the right to habeas corpus. I guess all they have to say is you're an enemy combatant. I'm not sure what my question is. Is this the last nail in the coffin to solidify the police state in America?
Well, it's really horrible. We had a revolution against Great Britain for much less than this. One of the scary things is that there was a case where some car had a Ron Paul bumper and they wouldn't let him into a national park. They interpreted Ron Paul support as terrorism. Well, I mean, suppose they say, well, you know, Ron Paul is so much out of the mainstream that therefore any of his supporters qualify under this rule. I suppose there's nothing to stop them. It's a little weird. I don't think that they would do that, but it's certainly compatible with the tenor of that law. That's a horrible law.
It's set the foundation. Hitler set the foundation to solve the Jewish problem. And I think a lot of people didn't think that he would ever carry out with his crazy notions.
Yeah, well, we have to address the libertarian problem. I mean, these libertarians are all over. They're getting uppity, and, you know, they're trying to trash our policies out there.
And Department of Homeland Security has said as much in that directive from Missouri, where, yes, anybody who talks about the Constitution and libertarians and anti-abortion activists, they are all potential terrorists. So
right.
Why not?
Yeah, I suppose all libertarians are potential terrorists. Of course, everyone's potential terrorist. I mean, anyone can do anything wrong at any time, but a rule of law is supposed to be you have to actually do something before you can be found guilty, and you have to be found guilty by a jury of your peers and not by one man who is judge, executioner, jury, whatever. Ron Paul is inveighed against this in the debates, and he is called for impeachment of Obama for actually killing U.S. citizens abroad. Yep. But what's the difference where they are? The U.S. citizens are supposed to have certain rights, and this is just a horrific piece of legislation.
And then you have the likes of Newt Gingrich, of course, saying they haven't gone far enough.
Yeah,
and that we have to do more to stop the crime from happening in the first place, which Ron Paul, I thought, perfectly responded to, saying, well, yeah, you could make things safer for everybody if you have cameras in every household and monitoring whether or not there's wife beating or child beating or whatever. The only thing Ron Paul didn't say, which came to my mind afterwards, of course, you always think of these things afterwards, is what Gingrich is really proposing is what the movie and the book Minority Report was all about, which is let's anticipate who might be the criminal and arrest them ahead of time.
Well, I mean, Newt Gingrich was saying that what we want is a law that would stop Tim McVeigh, but the point is that the Patriot Act, there's no guarantee it would have stopped Tim McVeigh.
No.
The way Newt Gingrich talks about it is if, the Patriot Act would have stopped him. Well, it didn't stop him. And then there's, you know, Ron Paul talks about blowback. Well, there was blowback for Tim McVeigh, and it's called Waco. My understanding is that Tim McVeigh did his evil deed, evil because he killed innocent people, on the anniversary of Waco.
Right.
And who was responsible for Waco? Well, it wasn't Obama, but it was the, what do you call it, Bill Clinton administration.
Clinton administration and Janet Reno.
Right.
Absolutely. Janet Reno, as far as my concern, should be in jail right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And as for new, you know, it's interesting, the Republican nomination, right now Gingrich is riding high, but so was Perry riding high, so was Bachman riding high, so was Keene riding high. And as they start riding high, they are subjected to greater scrutiny. And here Gingrich talks a good anti-Freddie and Fannie, and yet he was raking in millions of dollars from them.
Oh, he worked hard for that $1.8 million, because you know, he trained for so long, and he studied these issues for so long, that he's just right. This wonderful historian. So his two-minute suggestion was worth $1.8 million.
Look, I'd have paid it easy, you know. I've got an extra $1.8 million in my back pocket here. If only knew it would come and work for me.
I can't see how any intellectually honest Tea Party goer, member, whatever, would ever think of voting for Newt Gingrich. But I guess the key words are intellectual honesty.
Well, hopefully he will be uncovered, just like Bachman and Perry and Kane. And the thing with Ron Paul is that his constituency is very, very loyal compared to these other people. And pretty much nothing that anyone ever finds out about Ron Paul, not that there's anything to find out. I mean, he's got been married to the same woman for 50 years, and Newt has got I don't know how many wives and mistresses, which doesn't matter to me.
And he had one while his wife was dying of cancer in the hospital.
Ah, well, that's lovely, too. But, yeah. You know, the point is that Newt is a bloody warmonger, and, you know, the latest thing is with Iran. And they're trying to do to Iran what they did to Iraq, you know, say that they have all sorts of weapons of mass destruction and they want to kill Israel. The thing that I just discovered is that there's a thriving Jewish community in Tehran. And if the Iranians were really Hitlerites and, you know, wanting to get rid of every last Jew, by the way, I happen to be Jewish myself. If the Iranians wanted to get rid of every Jew and, you know, some of the hyperbole that has been mistranslated from Ahmad Inajad, mm-hmm. Well, what's this thriving Jewish community doing in Tehran, if that's so? I think Ron Paul is, you know, so much more sensible. Let's talk to these people. Look, we had an MAD with Russia or the Soviet Union for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, the Cold War. Everyone had nuclear power, and no crazy person did it. Well, the only crazy person that ever unleashed a nuclear device is, you'll never guess who.
Well, what is it with this American psyche that the knee-jerk response seems to be collectively go to war, whether it's going to war against terrorism or going to war on the war on drugs or war on poverty or war on the Indians or you name it. Boy, collectively Americans love to go to war, it seems. You would think we would have learned from the Iraqi experience.
You know, they can't tell the difference between offense and defense. You know, they say, well, Ron Paul doesn't want to have a strong defense. He does want to have a strong defense. He just doesn't want to have an offense. I mean, how is it defensive to take a stick and poke it in a hornet's nest and then run away and then wonder why the hornets are biting us? That's not defense, that's offense.
Right.
And our founding fathers are very clear about not searching for dragons to slay, but, you know, mind their own business and trade with everyone and be a good neighbor.
Those conservatives, those warmongering type conservatives are so upfront talking about the Constitution and the founding fathers until there's a complete deaf ear when it comes to foreign policy.
Yes, absolutely.
Then all of a sudden anything goes. It's pretty amazing. Well, let's go back to we're talking with Dr. Walter Black. I should give you throw out a little for people who don't know you. You're the economics chair at Loyola University out in New Orleans. I was just in New Orleans, so I know understand.
Oh, you should come visit me.
I should have. I figured you're too busy a man, but maybe next time. I would love
to.
Would love to. But what a great buy! I have to just on the side. What a great town. I just fell in love with the French Quarter.
Oh, it's lovely.
And as a libertarian, what I really loved about it is that you have this, you know, just hundreds, thousands of entrepreneurs, you know, in this 10 square block area, no corporations to speak of except for Hustler, I think has three places on Bourbon Street, but just all these different niche entrepreneurs, whether it's art or music or food or a bar or voodoo or you name it, it was just really a great experience.
New Orleans is sort of laissez-faire capitalism in operation, and not only in the ways that you mentioned, but one of the ones is you can walk around with uncovered beer in the streets, and they don't arrest you. There are even drive-in
drive-in places. Daiquiri places.
That's it, drive-in daiquiri places. You know, in Canada, if you ride a bicycle, you have to have a helmet, and if you don't have a helmet, they'll arrest you. In New Orleans and several other states also, and cities, that you can drive a motorcycle with no helmet. And I think that's an indication of freedom.
Absolutely. And if you had a drink at a bar there in New Orleans and you're going to leave, you still have the drink, that they have the carry-out containers right by the door.
Just like you have takeout boxes at Chinese restaurants.
Right.
You have takeout containers for booze. That's wonderful.
So, and that's not too hard to defend that. That's certainly not undefendable. But you did,
right.
Your most famous book is Defending the Undefendable.
Yeah.
And there's a lot there. I guess the one I used to hear, and I don't hear it much anymore, but the one on gun control is a biggie. So what you're saying, if there should be no laws regulating guns, what about my neighbor who's building a nuclear bomb?
Well, a nuclear bomb, I think, is different than a pistol. A pistol can be confined to bad guys. And therefore, it's not, per se, an offensive weapon. It could be a defensive weapon. But a nuclear bomb, at least on the Earth, cannot be confined to guilty people. It hits everyone, guilty and innocent alike. So it's,
right,
therefore, per se, an offensive weapon. On the other hand, if we lived on Jupiter's a big place, and everyone had a spread of 10,000 square miles, I could have a nuclear bomb right in the middle of mine, not on the border of mine and yours, but in the middle of mine, because if it went off, it wouldn't affect you because, you know, you're 10,000 miles away. So it's a matter of geography, really.
Well, I think that's an excellent answer, and my response to all that is that I do believe in the common law. And as far as I'm concerned, that is an assault. It's a direct threat.
Yes, a nuclear bomb or a ton of dynamite next door to you is very similar. It can't be confined. If there's it's a clear and present danger, and people should be able to go to court and get a court order saying, you know, that this is an offensive act waiting to happen. You know, when I was a kid, what we would do is we would have telephone booth stuffing contests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people could you stuff into a telephone booth? Maybe,
right.
You know, for the moment, you live very much cheek by jowl with your neighbor. Well,
I think you're dating yourself, by the way, Doctor. But go ahead.
Sorry?
I think you're dating yourself.
I think so. Well, we went from one geographical area, Jupiter, where you have wide open spaces, even more so than in Texas. But, like, right now, there's no law saying you have to have your fingernails cut down. You can have as long fingernails as you want. However, if we lived in a situation which is indicated by telephone booth stuffing, then to have long fingernails would be an offensive weapon. So what I'm trying to say is that whether it's a pistol or a nuclear bomb or fingernails, it all depends on the context. And in the present context, a pistol is legitimate, and a nuclear bomb is per se not legitimate, and therefore libertarian law would prohibit it. But a lot of people say, well, you know, if you have guns, then you're going to have a lot of crime. There's this guy, John Lott, L-O-T-T.
Yes.
Who has done magnificent work showing that an armed society is a polite society. If everyone's packing heat, you know, you're going to be polite because, you know, for obvious reasons.
More guns, less crime, and every state that has enacted a concealed carry law, the crime rate has gone down. Of course, of course, I live in the most backward state in the country, Illinois, which we are the only state in the union that doesn't have at least some sort of concealed carry law.
Well, that's one of the benefits of the federal system, that you have 50 different laboratories trying different things. Of course, if you have the federal government in Washington, D.C. taking over everything, then, you know, you have, say, the same speed law for all the highways, or double nickel, or 70, or whatever it
right.
is. But if you have each state able to do a different thing, even Romney Care in Massachusetts, or, you know, your crazy law in Illinois, well, you know, I oppose that on the state level because it's against freedom, but still it shows that we have sort of a laboratory of 50 different ways of doing things, and we can learn from each other.
Yeah, at least we can walk with our vote with our feet.
Right. Vote with our feet, and then, you know, vote in the ballot box every 4 years, eventually, against the states that do the wrong thing, and we can learn from their errors, whereas if the whole country does something, there's less learning going on.
Absolutely. All right, well, I would like to, before we break for a commercial, I'd like to go with one more, the area probably that libertarians disagree the most on, and that, because it's fundamentally just a tough question, that is the issue of abortion. I know you've recently wrote on this issue. The question to in my mind comes down to is, when does life begin? And if human life indeed begins at conception, then it seems to me choice doesn't mean anything, because the right to life would supersede any right to choice. But it depends on when it begins. But you can come up with a novel idea on how to deal with the abortion issue. What is that?
Well, you know, there are two views that are out there. One is pro-life and one is pro-choice. And I think both are wrong, and I think that the libertarian philosophy implies a very different one, and I call it evictionism. And I agree that life begins at conception. Once the sperm hits the egg and the implanted egg, now the sperm, if it's placed in the right position, it'll grow into a human being. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a very young human being. On the other hand, the fetus, at whatever stage, whether it's the two-cell stage or any other stage, the fetus that is in a mother that doesn't want to give birth to the child is a trespasser or an invader. Now, the easiest case is the case of rape, to illustrate this. A woman is walking down the street, she's grabbed up by somebody, she's impregnated, and now she's got something growing in her that she never agreed to, and she would like to evict it. Now, I think that eventually science will be such in 500 years where you could take that fertilized egg out of her and put it into a host mother or a test tube or God knows what they'll have in 500 years, and it will be able to be viable. And I think that in that case, see, I'm not a pro-choice person, because pro-choice says not only does she have a right to evict, but she has a right to kill. And I think that would be wrong, because the fetus, this infant in her, is innocent, even though the father was a rapist. You can't have the sins of the father onto the children. So the fetus is innocent, and I think if the mother were to kill him, that would be murder. And there is even this case of, what is it, partial birth abortion, where the baby is almost viable. It's like in the last month, the ninth month, and
right.
instead of allowing the baby to come out alive, they go in and horribly take the brains out of the baby, and then it's dead, and then they pull it out. That's just horrible. So I think, the difference between pro-life and pro-choice is, pro-choice is you have a right to abort, and abort means two things. It means evict plus kill, whereas the pro-life people say you have not the right to evict or to kill, whereas the libertarians, it's sort of a compromised position. We say, if I'm correct in my understanding of the libertarian theory, we say you have a right to do one of those things, but not both. See, abortion is really a two-stage thing. It's evicting and killing, and we say you have a right to evict, but not to kill. Now, if in 100 years ago, the only way to evict was to kill, and now I'm taking a pro-choice side. 100 years ago, property rights are sacrosanct to the libertarian, and if you have an invader in your property, you have a right to evict in the gentlest manner possible. And if in the gentlest manner possible means that the invader dies, well, tough, because, property rights are more important than life. You don't have a right to life. You have a right to property in libertarian theory. However, in 50 years from now, and even now, if we adopted this policy right now, one-third of babies would be saved, because babies in the last trimester, 7th, 8th, and 9th months, are pretty much viable outside of the womb, and yet right now, women are able to kill those babies and evict them, whereas if we adopted what I consider the libertarian position of evictionism, they would only be able to evict but not to kill, so you'd have no more partial birth abortion. And as time went on, instead of the 7th, 8th, and 9th month, and maybe in 10, 15 years from now, it could be the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th month, so you'd save more babies. And as time went on, we would save more and more babies, and eventually we'd save them all if we had evictionism.
Well, I've always considered myself a pro-life libertarian, I have to say what you say makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
you. And as as the technology improves, then we all become more the results are definitely going to be all more pro-life. We have to break for a few messages, and we'll be right back with Dr. Walter Block.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spezieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spezieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Watch the police and the tax man miss me.
All right, we are back with Dr. Walter Block, and we don't have too much time. I was going to ask you a question that I thought might take an hour to answer, but maybe we'll try to do it in 4 minutes. Defending more of the indefensible, you do, Doctor, believe eventually that that we need to take away the monopoly of force away. And maybe come up with some protection associations to protect us instead of the monopoly of the police power. If we ever got to that point, how would children's rights be protected?
Well, children's rights would be protected as they are now by courts. Only instead of government courts, they'd be private courts. I don't see any big difference there. Presumably, we'd have a libertarian society with no government. Look, right now, you know, my argument against the archists, namely people who believe in government, and the reason they believe in government in the United States is to say, well, if there's no U.S. government, then you and I will be at each other's throats, and we need somebody to make sure you and I behave with regard to each other. But right now, we live in a state of anarchy in the world. Namely, Portugal and China are in a state of anarchy with each other, as are Canada and Argentina. So if you're really consistent with your AUKUS views, you have to favor world government. And yet, most libertarians don't favor world government. Most libertarians would run in fear from world government. Well, if you run in fear from world government, which has a monopoly over the police power in the whole world, you should run in fear from the U.S. government or any other of the 200 or 300 governments that we've got. So I think every crisis that we face, whether it's child abuse or, you know, contractual difficulties, would be solved by private counterparts to what the government is doing. And we already have private courts. We have the American Arbitration Association. We have the Beth Dean for Jews. We have the Canon courts for Catholics. There's all sorts of ways of settling disputes. We had the law merchant in the 17th century when somebody from, I don't know, Belgium and someone from England were having a dispute. They would call upon these private courts or lawyers to settle their disputes. So I don't see that that's any problem for a libertarian version of anarchy.
Well, let's say I'm really an individualist in an individualistic society, and I decide I don't need or want any protection association. And I have a family, and I am beating my kids. What jurisdiction would any other private, since I haven't contracted out with any other private protection association, how would they have any jurisdiction over me?
Well, now, assuming that we knew about this, because, you know, there is child abuse nowadays that no one knows about it, and if no one knows about it, by definition, you know, no one can stop it.
Right.
But look, suppose instead of child abuse, you invited me to your house for dinner, and then you said, well, look, you're in my house now, my house, my rules, bang, bang, you're dead. And mm-hmm. You just killed me.
Right.
Well, presumably, somebody would you know, my friends or my my police protection agency would come knocking at your door, and if you didn't open your door, they'd bat it down, and they'd say, aha, Block's body is there. I see a smoking gun. We're going to take you and put you in prison. Well, it would be the same thing. If you're beating your kid, it would mm-hmm. be very much akin to killing an innocent outsider.
Right.
The police would come storming in, break down your goddamn door, you child molester, you,
yeah.
and put you in prison or deal with you in the way that the libertarian punishment theory said that you should be dealt with. It would be the same thing, only instead of a government court, which you didn't give any agreement to, you never signed any contract with the government,
mm-hmm.
It would be a private policeman who would come in and say, aha, you're beating your kid, you know, we're taking you off to the hoof town.
Sure, I do see the distinction, but there's still, of course, the use of force. There's still ostensibly a violation of the the sovereignty of one's area, in a sense.
Oh, no, you have no sovereignty if you're a murderer
right.
or
okay.
a child abuser. And yes, there's the use of force, but not the initiation of force. This is a
right.
retaliation force.
Right.
You started the force first by beating your kid.
Right, and then I'm subject to any the criminal or the accused criminal. I'm subjected to whatever rules of procedure that certain protection association is in. One could argue that at least with the Constitution, even though it's been tossed out the window by everyone, the Supreme Court and just about every other government official around, at least there's something on paper that protects certain procedures in a universal sense.
There would be something on paper that would indicate the procedures of the different courts and the different defense agencies, and you would pick and choose your own. But you're right; it's hard to deal with this in 4 minutes. Maybe
we're gonna have to do this again.
Okay, please invite me on your show again. I apologize for being late, and maybe we can start off with this issue and give it more time that it deserves.
Excellent, Walter. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
All right, on to the quotation of the week, I think I'll go back to Barry Goldwater. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
President Obama continues to...